His design is to you to inquire of the Holy Spirit and to let him lead you into victory. Let him guide you. Let him maneuver you in and around the landmines that the enemy has put there for your destruction. And he wants to navigate you through. You can go through, you know, we read in Psalms about the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow. But you know, the enemy's real and he's in this planet and his designs are to take us out. God will maneuver you around that. The very ones that are coming against you today, you could be have an influence in bringing them to Christ. And now they're going to be your biggest advocates to help you fulfill your mission. We need people in our lives more so than, you know, you say, well, I'm just shy and I'm okay with just, you know, the circle of people I have. No, not in God's plan. That's not true. God wants you to break out of that shyness and be bold for him. Okay, so let's go back over to Ecclesiastes, because you see right here in Psalm 139, God has already written down the days of our life. And I love verse 17, before you change and go over to Ecclesiastes. I love verse 17, how precious and weighty also are your thoughts. God's been thinking big time for you. I mean, weighty thoughts. He's not just running through the names, you know, Kathy and Steve and Cheryl and Diana and Ricky. He's not just running through them. He's thinking about you and he's thinking about the things that he's foreplanned for your life. Thinking about the time when you're going to come into contact with this person, you know, might be at the gas station and you're going to say, you're going to, you know, just inquire, you know, is there something wrong? Can whatever? And God's going to give you the words to speak and things are just going to unfold. And he's already written them down. We're just, if you think of it in that respect, we're just going through life supposed to be being led by the Spirit of God, and we should not fret about anything. We shouldn't have any anxiety. We as long as we're hearing God's voice and following him, we should be happy as clams. Now, I don't know where that expression came from. I'm not sure if clams are happy, but you know. Oysters, okay. Oysters got pearls. Maybe there's something more to that. It's another message that Nancy's going to bring someday. So let's go back to it. Hey, somebody got an agreement and a second, and all in favor say aye. So be it.
Let it be done as the Lord has brought.
Ecclesiastes, go back to chapter 3. He's made everything beautiful in its time. That includes you. He's also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. A divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. So we're going to have to go to our Creator to find that purpose, that will that he has for us. Go over to Ephesians with me. Did you want the pulpit tonight? Is that what we're... I could yield if that's... Okay. Ephesians chapter 5. Yeah, my pages and your pages too. They're all coming out. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Well, let's just back up a little bit. I'm not going to read it all, but starting in verse 5, it's talking about walking in love. I mean, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. All right, so now we're down verse 8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord, walk as children of light. That's part of the purpose of our life. Walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Drop down to 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is, or the will of the Lord is. So God wants us to know what the will he has for our life. Now, we know that, according to Philippians 2:13, that he's done things for his good pleasure. He's created us for his good pleasure. So, WWPG, what would please God? Would be something that you could remind yourself every day to kind of a litmus test, if you will, of how you're living your life. Let's go over to Philippians. Paul writes something here that's interesting. Remember, Paul, he had a past before he came to Christ, and he was probably the chief persecutor of Christians, of the church. And so in chapter 3 of Philippians, let's start down verse 12. Paul's writing here, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. So that's good instruction for you and for me, no matter what age we are. We need to press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Here's one thing he did that helped him, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, I know not people here, but there are some people that they're troubled still to this day by their past and the things that they did and the things that, you know, all the trouble that they got in. But Paul was in a lot of trouble. And he said, one thing I do is I don't look back there. I look ahead. I look ahead for what God has prepared for me. Matter of fact, verse 14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize. There is a prize to be gotten, and it's of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the call of God on your life that we have to press into if we're going to attain that. He's not talking about salvation in eternity. He's talking about the call on his life. And so you have to press forward. Forget those things that are behind. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. So he's saying, let's have this mindset. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Well, what is the same mind? To find and follow the will of God for your life. Every one of us needs to do that. I can't tell you what your purpose is. Only the Holy Spirit can. Only God himself can. And so that's a problem area with parents raising up children, and they get to high school age and, you know, they want to tell them what they're going to be. How would you know what they're going to be? You didn't create them. God created them. So it's reserved for God and only God to tell them who they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be. Not the parents. That's the confusion there. Just because we came through our parents, your parents probably didn't have a clue either. You know, they're as confused about it too. You know, you have 5, 6 kids, it's like, dear Lord, well, I don't know what all these kids are supposed to be doing. It's because it's not for them to know. It's for God to reveal it to their children. That's why the Bible says to train up your children in the way of the Lord. They'll know how to seek the Lord to find out what their purpose, what the call on their life is. It's reserved for God. And so we need to not do God's part and try to be doing God's part, but we need to be doing what he's asked us to do. All right. Turn with me to... where are we going to go here, Lord? All right. There are two predominant calls on our life. There's a primary one, and the primary purpose in everybody's life. Let's go to Genesis 12. The primary purpose is to reflect God. To reflect God and his nature, and to, you know, to be like him. People say, well, that's, you know, you can't be like God. Well, we've been created in his image and created in his likeness. in Ephesians 5, verse 1 says to be imitators of him. So, you know, we train our children to imitate and how to walk and how to talk and teaching them. Well, it's the same way with our Father in heaven. So anyway, in Genesis chapter 12, did I tell you to go to 12? Now the Lord said to Abram, verse 1, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, in the Amplified, it says, verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Remember, God had started out by blessing Adam. Well, Abram needed to know that God was going to pronounce that same blessing on him. And he says, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you with abundant increase of favors. Amen. Say, that's me and you. That's you. Say, make that personal. I'll bless you with abundant increase of favors. I'll make your name famous and distinguished. Do you know that God wants to make your name famous and distinguished for his glory? And that you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. That's part of the call on our life for all of us, is that's one of the things we're supposed to be doing, is to be looking for people to be a blessing to. Why? Because that's the nature of our Father. God wants to bless people. And so even those that haven't come to know him yet, if we can be a person dispensing good to them, they're going to see something in us, and they're going to want it. We don't have to hand everybody a tract. I'm not against tracts, but we don't have to go that route. It's more important, as far as I can see in the Word, how I live my life. That's what's going to really speak. I could hand 1,000 tracts out, but if I'm not living what I preach, then there's a problem, because they're all going to know it. And with Facebook today, the whole world will know instantaneously. And we see it all the time. I mean, I don't get on, but you hear of things all the time. And so that is one of the predominant primary purposes for God's plan for our life, is for us to reflect him, to look like him, to act like him, to talk like him. And so we all have that mandate. But then there's a secondary purpose, and that will come out in your occupation, what you do. God has an occupation for everybody. Do you know he has an occupation of a stay-at-home mom while she raises her children? That's her occupation. God will bless her. He will prosper her. He will give her wisdom on how to do that. And that's exactly where she needs to be. And she can walk in the supernatural because she's obedient unto what she's been called to do. Now, you could have a business. You could, in the recreation that you do, you're still called to reflect God. And there's going to be people that we come in contact with that God wants to get to. And so in your, let's say you have, you're an expert in guns and you go to gun shows and whatever. There's going to be people there that God wants you to reach. There's going to be people there that God's going to connect you with for the good of your life and for the good of their life. God's a good connector. The Holy Spirit knows how to do that. Why? Because he planned it. He's already planned it. He's already written it down. When we get that mindset, as Paul said, have this same mind on the call of our life. When we have that mindset, then we can go through life following the Spirit of God, knowing that we're going to fulfill the call that God has on our life. He will show us. He wants to show us. Now, let's go over to I thought it was Ephesians. I didn't write it down. Go back to Ephesians 5. Just wanted to make a comment on this. Back through the pages falling out. Yep. So he says, verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. So as long as we're still breathing, we've got time. So we need to redeem that time for the Lord. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Amplified says it this way, therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. That's something we have to go after. That's something we have to pursue. Just because you sit down for 5 minutes and ask God to show you what your life's all about, that's not going to happen. You have to continuously pursue it. He's going to direct you. He's going to show you. He's going to play it out, and that takes time. You know, because of the culture we live in here in America, everything is speeding up. I mean, they got it so now that you don't even have to stop to pay the tolls on the road, right? Just go right through. It says 25. How many people really go 25? They're going through at 40. Got to get to the next toll. So the toll people don't care because they're just going to get to the next one and pay their next toll. But anyway, things are going so fast that people are, they want to do the same thing with the call of God on their life, and they just want it all speeded up. Just tell me now, tell me now, tell me the whole plan. Guarantee you, if he told you the whole plan when you're your age, you'd say, no way, I don't want to do it. Why? Because it's work. It involves work. How many know that you can't grow in the Lord? How many know you can't go through life but what you're going to have trials and tribulation? Can't get there without them. Jesus said, it's impossible that you won't have an opportunity to be offended. If you take all the opportunities through your life to get offended, your life will be a wreck. You'll be the most miserable Christian on the planet. We're not supposed to take them. We're supposed to pass them up. They're not part of our job description. None of us. And so we want to follow the plan and the purpose that God has for us. It's going to take some time spent with the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean just time spent once and say, God, what is it? You know, like back in high school, you meet with your guidance teacher for 1 hour and they trying to figure out what you're going to be in life. And then for the next 40 to 50 years, you work at that job. And then you come to the end of that. And now you're looking at, oh my goodness, I'm 70 years old. Or if you didn't pass high school like at 18. If it took you till 30. But anyway, you get the picture. So it's not wise to even try to inquire of God what the whole plan is. You know, how about start with today? Lord, what do you want me to do today? Because what he shows you to do today was already written down. He already wrote it down. Now, if you picture it like this, he'll just, well, wait a minute. I'll just go back and look. Yep, I wrote it right here. December 27th, 2017. This is what I have for you. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Okay. So Paul, we know what Paul's call on his life was, and he had a lot of a bad background. He said, don't go back there. I don't want to be reminded of that. Because when we looked at Jeremiah 29, and he talked about the thoughts and the plans, every one of God's plans for you are good. You got to know that. Don't be afraid that somewhere in there, there's going to be a mix of stuff that you're not going to like. You are going to like it. What you don't like in life is what you don't do that God's called you to do. That's the stuff you do on your own. You're responsible for that. God's not responsible to bless your plan. But the plan he's got for your life is already blessed. So get on that one. It's already got the blessings abounding toward it. So if things aren't working out the way you want them to, just take some time and reflect with the Spirit of God, with the Holy Spirit. Get alone with him and ask him, am I even on the right path? Maybe I took a wrong turn and it seemed good at the time, because a lot of things are good. You know, good ideas are just that. They're good ideas. But they're not necessarily God's idea for you. You know, in this ministry, I've had a lot of good ideas, but we can't do all the good ideas that everybody comes up with. We can all come up with good ideas, but that's not God's purpose for Faith Alive. Things are still unfolding. We didn't start a food pantry. Number one, God didn't call me to, but we don't have the volunteers. Have you been to the Vineyard on Thursday when they deal with 100 plus people that come to the food pantry? It's a lot of work. A lot of work. It's very organized. They do a great job at it. That's why we support them financially to help buy them the food that goes to all those. So if you know people that need that thing in their life, send them up there. But it would be good. You know, maybe we even ought to, you know, have the younger people go up and work on a Thursday. Or even the adults work to see what goes on. You know, how about the food kitchens where they're serving people? We've done that. We've gone to New York and whatnot. And it's like, but we weren't there making all the food. We did at the church that we hooked up in Brooklyn. And we'd spend, you know, all morning Saturday and up until about 3 o'clock preparing everything. Then we went out on the street and we had to disperse it and serve people. It's work. Yes, the ministry's work. God doesn't want you sitting home watching television all the time. Okay? Even if it's God TV. I'm not sure if that's his channel or not. But anyway, there's some good stuff. I'm not knocking it. There's some good stuff on there. But anyway, God's plan for your future is all good. And I wrote this down. It's amazing. It's amazing. There's no greater joy that I've found than when I've been able to share with somebody God's goodness. And they've gotten healed. They've gotten saved. They've gotten delivered. There's, you know, you've helped them in a physical way, in a material way. That's great. That's a great feeling when you can help somebody. When we helped that family that had 7 little kids that were going to get nothing. And we help provide them to get something. I'm believing they're just at the beginning of their connection with this church, with you and I. I believe we're going to cross paths again, and we're going to have opportunity. I've already had opportunities with this social worker I'm not being preachy. I'm not being pushy. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm getting texts, you know, you guys are just amazing. And you guys love people, and you guys care about people. They're taking notice because of what we've done. The good works that God has for us get people's attention. They're going to ask the question at the time that they are in need. I mean, how many of you ever been at, you know, at work and you're the Christian and there's a bunch of non-Christians and you know, they're always making fun of you and talking about you. But when there's a problem, who do they go to? They go to the one that has said they know Jesus. Isn't it interesting that the ones that curse Jesus' name every day, hundreds of times, they come and say, you know, I got a problem in my family. Would you pray with me? Interesting. But you see, people take notice. It may take you many years to get to that person. But as long as you're following what God's called you to do and say what God calls you to say, what difference it make if it takes 7 years if that person finally gets reached? You're the one that God's been using, and maybe you'll never see them be the one, you know, come to salvation, but somebody else is. You planted seed. Maybe you watered seed. We're all in this together. I'm talking about the body of Christ all across this planet, and we all have our part, but we all have a purpose also. Day in and day out, and God wants to use you. All right, 1 Corinthians, we're going to finish right here. I've got tons more, but it's just going to get worked into tons more that God is just keeps revealing in his word. I really like this. It seems fitting to end here tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's see. Let's start in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God, say, but God, he has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. See, when I read that, I thought, well, this hope for me. God can use me. I don't have to be a great president or king of a country. I can just be me, and God can use me. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Now I want to read it in the Amplified, and then we're going to close. Verse 26, for simply consider your own call, brethren. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates. You see, don't listen to what people have told you you can or can't do. Don't let your past, don't let your upbringing as a child, don't, if you had parents or step-parents that told you how stupid you were, just don't look back there. Don't even go there. That means nothing, because you're here today and God's got a hold of you. And with God, all things are possible. And so, just because not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates and standards, I think back to when I was in junior high school, and, you know, they wanted to put me through a speed reading course. You know, it wasn't even a speed reading course. It was, we got to teach this kid how to read. I thought I could read, and I had to stay after school and read those stupid stories and then take tests to tell you what that stupid story meant. It's like, oh, I hated it. But according to them, they thought I needed it. Well, praise God, the Holy Spirit shows me how to read the word, and so I'm okay now. But anyway, not according to human estimates and standards, not many influential and powerful, not many of high and noble birth. That doesn't mean God's not going to call any of them. It just says not many of them. That means that there's hope for all of us. You know, when we just went over the Christmas story, you know, the angels appeared before the shepherds. The shepherds are just normal folk watching sheep. You know, there's hope for all of us. There's a place for all of us. And so what I want you to know is that God's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. And it's a wonderful one. And only you can fulfill it. That's the neat thing. Only you can fulfill that plan that God wrote down. Look, if our father bothered, you know, I don't know what kind of pen he used. Was it a big pen or a nice one? You know, he bothered to write it down in the books. I want to see those books when I get to heaven. You know, there's books up there that have been written. Books with names in it. Books with our life plan and purpose in it. I just think that's cool. I'm going to go to the library when I get there. I hope I don't see that seventh grade English teacher. And you got to stay and take this reading test again. I believe she was a Christian, so I'll probably see her there. So anyway, don't anybody tell on me that I was talking about her. But anyway, verse 27 in the Amplified. No, for God selected, he deliberately chose. Put your name in there. He deliberately chose you. What in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame, and what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame? Amen. God is an amazing planner, a creator. I mean, he created the plans for us. He's a master architect. And I think it's amazing as we search him out in his word and through his spirit that he reveals things to us. We're going to look more at that in Ephesians. He wants you to know the deep and intimate things of him that he's been thinking for. You know, there's no time with God. Amazing, isn't it? Stand with me and let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your great love and your great faithfulness to us. And we give you thanks for your word. You said, Lord Jesus, your word would never be void of power. You said it would be established where you send it. And I thank you, Lord, that the word that has gone forth tonight into those hearing it and those that are about to hear it as they listen online and through CDs, I just pray, Father, your anointing would be powerful upon their bodies, upon their minds, upon their souls and spirits as they receive it into the good ground of their heart. So we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming out on this warm evening.